Yo, what's going on? It's the homie Mez. You tuned in to Mez Drinks and Chill. Today we got a special guest, Marcia. What up?
Hey, Mez.
What's going on? It's a pleasure to have you on here.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything's going on. I'm so glad for you to have me.
Thank you. And I've been trying to get it done for a while, but you know how time be. We got it done together, though.
Yes, yes. You have been asking for a while, and then life just be life.
It do, all the time, too. But when it's supposed to happen, it happens, right?
Yes, yes.
So you're a doula, right?
Yes, I am a doula.
That's what we'll be talking about today. What is a doula, for those who don't know?
So a doula, let's just first say that there's a movement right now mm-hmm. about whether or not we should be calling ourselves doulas. But doulas are basically, we are support systems for mothers and families. Uh-huh. Before pregnancy, during pregnancy, after pregnancy, doulas aren't medical professionals.
Yeah.
But we're here to provide support spiritually, physically, mentally, education, childbirth education, things like that. So it's basically, it's that well-informed sister or mom in your birth space
right.
During pregnancy and afterwards.
How useless are men or partners in the delivery room? Is that why? Like, she's laughing, so she probably seen it all.
No, so I think that men do not hold the space that they should. They have more power to hold a bigger space. Me as a doula, one of the things for me is I make sure that dad is just as informed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the conversations I have with dads, especially when there was a previous pregnancy, was like, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I was there, especially when it was a traumatic situation. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what questions to ask.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes dads are excluded, but it's your baby too.
Correct.
And it's your baby having a baby.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's just as important. I tell all my dads, when I'm done with you guys, you're going to be my birth assistant.
Yeah.
You're going to be my doula assistant.
Right.
Because I want to make sure that they are there to advocate for the mothers of their children.
Right.
Just as much as I want the mother to be able to advocate for themselves. So dads aren't useless.
They're not.
And I find that when dads are educated, they will put their foot down.
Yeah.
They will ask questions. And even more of an emotional support for the mothers in their birthing space, because one of the biggest things that helps moms through birth is natural oxytocin. And that comes from, that's the love hormone.
Okay.
So when dads are there and they're informed and they aren't nervous and they can hug on mama and love on mama during that time, it makes for a better experience. So dads have a lot of power.
So they're not useless in there.
They are not useless at all.
Because we can't help it. Like when I was in the, because I watched the whole thing, but it's times where I'm like, damn, I feel like, I hope I'm not in the way. I hope I'm not like bothering the nurse. I hope I'm not, you know, getting on her nerves. Both my mom and her mom were there. So it was like.
No, I get annoyed when dads like sit in the corner. Like I've had dads be like, can I bring my PS5?
No way.
Yes.
Like, PS5?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro.
Can I bring my PS5? Like, they're on the phone.
Yeah.
And I get annoyed. I'm like, listen, tap in. First of all, I need some help. My arms is hurting. Can you help me?
Right.
But I think it's just good to have that conversation with mom ahead of time, like how much she wants him to be involved.
Yeah. That was one of my questions.
And if she wants him to be involved.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you. Yeah. I was going to say, how important is it for you to make everybody in the room feel comfortable? Like, is that one of the things that the, like, are you, do you go out your way to make sure the dad is like, hey, you know, you can help, you can do this, or like, take charge? You do?
Yep. I make sure, like, you got any questions?
Yeah.
You know, especially because, again, I spend a lot of time with mom.
Right.
So I know mom. She knows me. I kind of can read her. But sometimes I ask dad to tap in too, because it's like, listen, is she really okay?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because you're going to kind of know her
better than a
doula. Better than I do in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But no, I want dad, mom, mother-in-law, whoever, everybody to feel comfortable.
Right.
And I think sometimes kind of being that conduit between the family and the nursing staff and the medical staff is helpful.
Right.
And a lot of times, I'm able to articulate things and maybe even sometimes diffuse some things between family and with medical staff.
Because I'm sure that happens a lot.
It happens.
Yeah. So let me throw some true or false questions out there about doulas, right? True or false, doulas hate epidurals?
Okay, so I'll tell you this.
All right.
You got different type of doulas, Miz.
Okay.
You got the, and all of them, I respect all of them, okay. Right? You have some doulas that are strictly like, listen, I only support home births. I only support wild, free, natural births.
Yeah.
I don't support medicated births at all.
Yeah.
Then you have some doulas that I think are probably a little more into the indoctrinated, and they shouldn't be. But for me, I'm in the middle, right? Because yeah. I'm there to support you, your birth, your way.
Right.
I'm going to give you all the education that you need. I've had an epidural. I've had a successful epidural. I've had a failed epidural. I've seen where epidurals have been helpful.
Yeah.
I've seen where epidurals have, you know, stagnated the labor. And then now it's like a cascade of events. So I don't hate them. My goal is for each mom to go into the experience, to feel the experience. And it's okay if you need a little bit of help.
Yeah.
Again, epidurals, in a case where a mother may be preeclamptic and her blood pressure is high, oftentimes that epidural can help bring her blood pressure down. It's almost like a cure in a way for being preeclamptic.
Right.
So I don't hate them, but there's some who are like, I ain't supporting you if you want any pain medicine. I'm supporting you, your birth, your way. I just want to make sure you're educated and you know what the risks are, what the benefits are, what alternatives we may have.
Yeah.
But I would prefer moms to wait to get an epidural until they absolutely need it, because oftentimes you find that, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, it, I can really do this.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But some do.
Yeah.
So it's not That's really a true like, or a false.
It depends on
doula. The doula.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. True or false, doulas can help mothers prenatally, during labor, and postpartum?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really?
So do you have doula? You have some doulas that work in, that only do postpartum. You have some doulas that only do labor and delivery. But in for prenatal, doulas are there to kind of help you through with nutrition, with building your birth plan, with birth education, getting you ready and prepared for labor and delivery, for questions.
Yeah.
You know, I get my clients call me about all the things while they're pregnant.
Yeah.
And then, of course, labor and delivery and postpartum. And I think that postpartum doulas don't get as much.
Uh-huh.
They don't get as much. I guess they don't get their flowers as they should.
Yeah.
Many complications, pregnancy related complications, happen postpartum. So while yes, when we're in the game and we're in labor, of course doula is needed. But when a mom has a baby, she goes home and she doesn't see the doctor oftentimes for another 6 weeks. Who was there in the meantime, in between time?
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have that support from, you know, a mother or your husband or auntie.
Yeah.
Postpartum doulas are there to help you through the latter part. Newborn care.
Yeah.
What's going on with all the changes in your body, lactation.
Some babies don't latch and stuff too, right?
Some babies don't latch.
Yeah.
So, again.
And latching, we're talking like some. So you want to explain latching?
So when a mom, that's just the baby latching onto the breast and having a proper, healthy latch to the mom's breast when breastfeeding. Not all babies get it at first. Sometimes moms needs a little help. Sometimes babies need a little help. Sometimes doulas can help. And sometimes we have to refer you out to lactation consultants. It could be, you know, the baby may have a tongue tie or a lip tie or... maybe the mom needs a little bit of help. She may have inverted nipples, or it could be all different types of things. But again, having someone fill that space in that time.
Yeah.
We as postpartum doulas, sometimes we fold clothes, we wash dishes, we cook breakfast.
That doesn't sound like a lot of help thinking about it, but actually you get so behind on all the house chores too. Damn, I didn't even think about that.
I tell them, I said, listen, y'all don't try to clean up and get all fancy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. And sometimes I come in a space and mom and dad go and take a nap and I watch baby and cook breakfast, you know.
Because that sleeping pattern be so off the first about 2 months, it'd be hell.
No, I have a 2.5-year-old and I still ain't getting no sleep.
Nah, that's true. That's true. But you know, that first, when they wake up every 2 hours.
Exactly.
It's like.
So sometimes you need that, especially when sometimes, let's say you're getting sleep, but you're alternating. Mom take a shift, dad take a shift. Y'all may just want to take a nap together and get that time together. So I do vaginal steaming, postpartum massage, newborn massage, all those types of things in the postpartum space. So yeah, we go from before baby, and then you have doulas who help with infertility. So they have fertility doulas.
I never heard of that.
Yep, they have fertility doulas, doulas that help, you know, prescribing certain herbs and exercises and things of that nature to help moms. Even sometimes there just needs to be a spiritual cleansing and a release for mom to be able to allow her body to be able to conceive. And then you have bereavement doulas. They work with moms who have had miscarriage, abortion, stillbirth. So doulas do a lot. We're here to support in so many ways.
I see. True or false, doulas hate hospitals?
I think most doulas prefer not to be in a hospital environment, especially us doulas of color who support Black moms.
Yeah.
It's getting better. But this has been an ongoing thing around the Black maternal health crisis. You're likely to have a cascade of events in a traumatic birth in a hospital environment.
Really?
So we're like, I support my clients. If you want to have your birth at home, at a birthing center, at a hospital, outside, in your front yard, wherever you want. But again, it's a system. It's the hospital, the medical industrial complex. And it's a system.
Yeah.
And we're not even always welcome in some hospitals in those spaces. We get a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
So, yes, we would probably prefer to have clients in a home birth or birthing center environment. However, I personally feel the doula is really needed with a mom who's in the hospital because she needs that extra support.
Yeah.
She needs that pit bull when she needs to be a pit bull. She needs someone to be able to translate what is happening.
Like a middleman in a sense.
It's a middleman.
Yeah.
It's a middleman. Someone there holding your hand, being there for you in that space and advocating for you in that space and preparing you for that. Mm-hmm. I often say I'm a coach to my clients. And you know me for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not a cheerleader. Cheerleaders going to cheer you on if you losing or if you winning.
Right.
I'm a coach because I'm going to pull you out the game and have a talk with you if we need to have a talk.
Yeah.
But I'm also, you know, I'm that coach. I'm there for you. You know, you're in the game. This is you. You got the ball. But I'm there to support you and guide you through that birthing experience, especially in a hospital where that is not our – that is –
Nah,
that's not a space for us.
I've seen it firsthand, and we're gonna get into that too. Mm-hmm. It's my last true or false. Mm-hmm. True or false? Men can be doulas.
So yes, they have.
They can.
They call them like dad doulas. I think it's a guy in Charlotte who's a doula. Now,
I just don't see a man being cool with another man.
So you want my opinion?
Yeah, for sure. You can speak freely. Yeah.
I am very uncomfortable with men in the birthing space, whether it's a doula, whether it's a midwife.
Would you call that a mid-husband?
It's a nurse, I guess a mid-husband. Even doula. Doula means woman that serves. So if you're a man and you're a doula, I don't know.
Yeah.
But even obstetricians, I think it's just, this is my opinion. It's weird. And we can go back to the history of birth. Back in the day, it was women in that birth space.
For sure.
Even men weren't even allowed.
No, not
even
at all.
In some countries, it's still like that.
Yeah.
Men aren't allowed in
Facts.
The birth space.
Facts.
It's the midwife, it's the mom, it's the grandmother, the auntie. They weren't even allowed in the birthing space. Women were midwives. Then, as female colonizers do, they came along and said, hey.
Female colonizers. Yeah, understood. Yeah, I got
no,
it.
we had what we were called, what we had here in the States called grand midwives that were stolen, from Africa or that were stolen from their sovereign land that were already here. They were enslaved. We were the ones who were birthing the master's babies. Mm-hmm. And we were birthing the master's babies. And then the female colonizers were like, ooh, I want to do that. Because, you know, they always appropriating. And then they came up with certified nurse midwives. So you had to go to school, but you got to think about generations of Black grand midwives who may have not been able to afford to go and get certified. They may have not even known how to read and write.
But right? can get in there and get it done.
But we're getting it done yeah. and been getting it done. But, you know, they put these guidelines in and now they couldn't be certified. They outlawed midwifery unless you went through the white system of education. So then you had the white midwives. And then as the male colonizers do, they come in and they say, oh, no, we're coming in with our white coats as now obstetricians.
Yeah.
Men for centuries had no place in the birthing space. And I don't think they should now. My experience is there are some people who say they have wonderful male obstetricians. The bedside manner is different. The empathy is different.
Gotta be.
And I just think it's like, how do you wait? Anyway, that would be a whole nother conversation. But I just don't know how men feel comfortable in that space.
Yeah.
They're great surgeons. I don't know
how men could, I don't mean to cut you off, my bad. How can a man be cool with another man being there as far as, unless, because I'm sure it's doctors who have delivered babies, but just like, I wouldn't hire a mid-husband, I guess. I don't even know if that's a proper term. I'm just making
I don't, listen. I don't know, listen.
I don't think
my husband ain't going for it.
I'm not going for it.
He ain't going for it.
Yeah.
When there's so many other, like you would have to be, you would have to be like this top of the, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I can't even create.
I can't think of nothing.
Cause I'm sitting here trying to create a scenario and I'm still hearing him like, nah, no.
Nah.
But again, some people, there are male obstetricians out there. I've worked with some. They've been really nice. I personally just don't think, I'm old fashioned in a way, and I just think men, unless it is your child, men are not, should not be in the birthing space.
Yeah, for sure. I feel you on that. How can somebody check for qualifications? Like if I'm looking for a doula, how do you check somebody's qualifications? Is it something that you go to school for? Is it, how do you get what I mean? Like,
so doulas are not regulated.
Okay.
They're not regulated. A doula does not have to have a certification to be a doula.
Okay.
Me personally, I definitely, especially being a Black mother, I would want someone who I know has gone through some training and has had some experience. They kind of know the politics and the ins and outs of working with the hospital system. They know what the laws are and what your actual rights are as a mother, as a birthing person. But you don't have to. You don't have to. You have some doulas, just like you had midwives who were midwives for decades that never went to school, but it was more like an apprenticeship. Like they learned from their grandmother or their mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely, if I were interviewing, that is a question I would ask because I don't necessarily right now.
Mm-hmm.
Being a doula
is
like fashionable. It's like the new thing.
Yeah. I've noticed it growing up. Yeah.
We're talking about the Black maternal health crisis, which isn't new, everybody. This has been a thing. But now it's like, we need more doulas. We need more doulas. So folks are just throwing up classes that are weekend classes or, you know, an online class and certifying folks. Until you get in the field.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame, right?
Every birth, I learned something new.
Really?
I learned something new because no birth is the same.
True.
And now that I am a student midwife, I'm learning so many more things outside of being a doula. So if you ain't been in the field and I'm high risk, I'm Black, I'm in a hospital, I just don't think that, I think you should go with someone that is experienced. And they have wonderful programs out here. The colonizer top tier program for the colonizers is DONA. And then you have the National Black Doulas Association, and they certify through there.
Okay.
I will say, though, for certain, so for, and I know we'll probably get in this maybe later, but like insurance purposes or getting grants and things like that, mm-hmm. they're going to want to see that you've had some type of training or certification.
Okay.
Certain organizations, if you want to get involved in as a doula, want to see where did you go and train. Again, yeah. they want to make sure it's just not somebody from off the yeah. street saying I'm a doula.
Right.
So, yeah. it's
somebody
it's,
who just didn't shadow with somebody else.
Exactly. I want to know you've been in the field. Like, and you yeah. know how to handle a situation like this. You know how to articulate. And again, still, every birth is still a different yeah. experience. But, you know, still someone can make that up.
Yeah.
So I always tell people to be in tune. Pray about, I tell when I'm interviewing, you may love me, but go home, pray about it, meditate yeah. on it, and use your instinct knowing that this person is about to fill your birth space.
Yeah.
So
what's the difference between a midwife and a doula?
So again, a doula is, like I said, that support person.
Right.
A midwife is a medical professional. So okay. one of the things people say, like my husband likes to tell people when they ask, they're like, she's a doula, but she in school to be a midwife. So she can't catch babies now, but she will catch babies when she becomes yeah. a midwife. So midwives actually would take the place of an obstetrician.
Oh, okay.
So I would be able to deliver babies. I would actually do physical prenatal checkups, like as now I do prenatal checkups, but they're just I'm just talking, sharing yeah. information. But a midwife would take the place of what an obstetrician would be.
Okay.
You have midwives that are do home births, and you have midwives that are in the hospital. You have hospital midwives, certified nurse midwives,
birthing centers, and
it's different in birthing centers. Yeah. But that's kind of the difference. A doula is a non-medical professional. They could or could not have gone to training, but it's not required.
Right.
Midwives are regulated to be certified and licensed.
Okay.
So there's training, there's schooling, and there's clinical training for that.
Okay. How high is the U.S.? How high is the U.S. compared to, like, other countries? Of course, excluding third world countries, but, like, as far as maternal deaths or, like...
You know that our black maternal health rate is worse here than it is in some third world countries.
That's sad. And we're
we are an established industrialized country, and our black maternal health rate is worse than some third world countries. But you want to know why?
Why?
Because they have midwives.
Oh yeah.
They don't have all this intervention.
Yeah.
They eat healthy.
Facts. They walk, they move around.
They're practicing indigenous birthing practices and things of that nature. And we don't have, like, our black maternal health crisis has a lot to do with our hospital system.
Yeah.
So they're not having babies in hospitals.
Yeah.
There's not that systemic racism in the medical system right. that they're dealing with.
Right.
It's very unfortunate, and it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's all across the board. It's not just black, though, right? Because it's high all the way across the board. That's crazy for the U.S. to be.
And it's not. And again, like when I tell folks, this black maternal health crisis, this didn't just start a couple years ago when we start seeing it everywhere. This has been a thing. This has been a thing.
Yeah. And I heard the numbers aren't even like it's growing. The numbers are growing.
It is not getting better. It is not getting better. And just to touch back on how it's been that way, after they got rid of our grand midwives, our traditional midwives, after they got rid of us, they had hospitals. But, you know, we couldn't go to hospitals.
Uh-huh.
So you made it illegal for our community midwives to practice midwifery.
Yeah.
But then I also can't go to your hospital.
So that's you burning a candle on both ends, basically.
How am I going to have proper prenatal, labor and delivery, and postpartum care.
Yeah. There's only one option. Like, yeah, damn, that's a setup.
So then we wanting to go into their hospitals, and then they're making it, you know, because that was for white women. It wasn't for us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in a racially biased medical system.
Yeah.
One that told us that we aren't human.
Yeah.
Right? That we can experience more pain.
Oh, yeah, right? I've heard that.
You know, that's in textbook.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been at a disadvantage since they took away our grand midwives.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw a stat that said black mothers are 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than whites and Hispanics. Mm-hmm.
3 to 4 times.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. 3 to 4 times. And we're not talking about We're talking about deaths that could have been prevented,
right? Yeah.
4 out of 5 deaths could have been prevented. 4 out of 5 moms that died from pregnancy-related complications should still be here.
That's 80%.
Yes. 4 out of 5 moms who have passed away due to pregnancy-related births should be here.
That's a very high number.
Yes.
That's scary.
So we're not talking about moms that are like really, really sick. They've been sick and, you know, they're just broke down and beat down and they have a baby and then they die. We're talking about moms who can be completely healthy.
And you're speaking from a doula's point of view. So you probably see all type of shit. And just even with the birth of my son, right? So we were supposed to do it at a birthing center, right? Mm-hmm. We had the midwife, the whole thing. And then her blood pressure went through the roof. So they was like, yo, we got to get you to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And the hospital is right, like, not too far from there. So we get there. And literally, when she has the birth, like, they're like, even my mom is looking like she had her birth. Like, most of them, I think I was the only one born in the hospital. The other ones, her mom, my grandmother pretty much helped her with it. So my mom is sitting there like, yo, she should be propped up a certain way. Like, there's certain ways you're supposed to be sitting or laying, certain ways you're supposed to be breathing. Mm-hmm. But my mom is, like, traditional, so she's trying not to overstep her boundaries, but she's pulling me to the side. Like, she's supposed to be doing it. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, I really don't know what's going on. Right. I'm just listening to the professionals. So finally, she tells her, after, like, a while of her trying, she's telling her how to breathe. Mm-hmm. Soon as she finally tells her how to breathe, Josiah pops right out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, why you ain't tell her this 30, 40 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm just keeping it real. All of them were white in there, right? Mm-hmm. So then a black doctor comes in. She's a female. Mm-hmm. Black doctor comes in there. She's just checking behind her. She's like, hold on. So I guess you're supposed to do a sweep inside after the birth.
You're not supposed to.
Really?
You're not supposed to. We're not supposed to bother moms at all. Moms are supposed to have babies. Like every other animal has babies, and let her body do what her body's supposed to do.
Wow. So I guess they swept, and then she goes in. I guess she's supposed to check after them. Mm-hmm. So they didn't even sweep properly, because I guess for blood clots and stuff.
Yeah.
So she's like, so she had to do the job after them also. Mm-hmm. And then, nope, this is my right hand to God on my son. They have their instruments that are laying there, I guess, like their scalpels and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. One of them falls, right? My right hand of God, you hear it, of course. So everybody looks, the nurse picks it up and puts it right back on the table. The black doctor's like, do you realize you contaminated that whole table? Like, we're all looking like, what the fuck? Like,
wow.
And this, you can ask Kat, you know.
No. Yeah. I believe it. These are the type of things that happen, right? So let's say that wasn't another sister who saw that. That wasn't a black doctor.
Yeah.
Let's say there was a white doctor that
saw that. Yeah.
That saw that, right? And they dismissed it, but they needed to use that in order to do something with her. It's contaminated. It's
contaminated.
It's crazy.
She told the whole thing is contaminated now since you picked up one instrument and put it on that whole table.
That's crazy.
But yeah, those are some of the things like that. You're just sitting there, like, when you're watching it firsthand and you hear all these women who've been complaining about it, you're like, yo, it's weird when you're sitting there actually watching it with your own too. How often do people plan home birth?
I think most people want to start off with having a home birth, right? If you're healthy and you're low risk, you can have a home birth. But I think more and more, especially after COVID, people started wanting to have home births.
Yeah.
But then I think a lot of us have been so indoctrinated. Like, when someone says home birth, that's
sounds
dangerous.
Crazy. But meanwhile, centuries and centuries of humans have been doing it.
Yep. But you have some family members. I've had clients who, you know, they get a doula. What you get a doula for?
That's
I
want
to try to have a birth in a home birth or have a birthing center. That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're likely to have a pregnancy-related complication, more likely, if in the hospital than at home. Now, mind you, home births is for low-risk mamas. These are not mamas who have comorbidities that have, like, extremely high blood pressure.
Yeah.
Moms who have had complications during pregnancy.
Yeah.
Moms who have gestational diabetes.
Yeah. Because you saying that, I read a stat that said you're 2 to 3 times more likely to have something go wrong when you do it at home. That's cap. It's
of
cap.
Course they would love that.
Yeah.
We had them at home and people were fine.
I know, man. That's why when I read that, I'm like, damn.
So So this is the thing. Again, this is why home birth should be for low risk. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't speak for every midwife.
Right.
You got some midwives, they do what they do.
Correct.
Me, when I have my practice, I'll be taking low risk moms. But if you have a mother that is high risk, that may have already had high blood pressure, gestational diabetes, mm-hmm. may have placenta previa or any type of complication, and she has a birth at home, there's only so much you can do as a midwife.
Right.
The midwife isn't a surgeon. A midwife, I can't jump and do an emergency C-section if something goes wrong.
True.
I got to wait for the ambulance to get here and then get you to the hospital, transfer you into the hospital. Ooh. That's a whole process.
Yeah.
That's not like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's
right,
a whole
right.
process.
Yeah.
So if a mom is high risk, she shouldn't be having a home birth.
Yeah.
And I would not advocate, and I wouldn't accept a client who is high risk to have a home birth.
Right. And you can determine if they're high risk mm-hmm. way before all of that, right?
So your previous history, right? Yeah. Your previous history, your previous pregnancies. And then again, you know, what's going on now? Do you have high blood pressure?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Age? Does that have anything?
So they like to say when you turn 36 that mm-hmm. you are now geriatric and it's a geriatric pregnancy.
Correct, yeah.
Statistics actually show mothers who have babies in their later 30s and 40s actually live longer.
The mother lives longer?
The mother lives longer. But I had my last baby at, what was that, 37, I think, 38? Yeah, 37. My age didn't really have anything to do. Now, mind you, I've had three complicated preterm births.
Yeah.
My age didn't have anything to do with it. The same thing that was wrong every pregnancy was wrong with my first pregnancy at 23. But they like to think and they like to label you as high risk when you turn 36. So what ends up happening is now they have you running all these extra tests and you're getting all these extra scans and
yeah.
They say, oh, well, we don't want you to go to 40 weeks. We want to induce you at, you know, 38 weeks. Then we start that intervention that causes a cascade of intervention,
yeah.
which a lot of times leads in C-section.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of planned C-sections? I know a lot of people are against that, like who are like midwives and like doulas.
I think that if you want, it's your birth your way.
So you really are... You go with whatever the flow is of the mother.
I'm going to educate you. We have this thing we call brains. I'm gonna tell you the benefits of what you want. I'm gonna tell you the risk of what you're wanting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what the alternatives are.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna ask you to use your intuition, and then I might say nothing. We might not do anything.
Brain. Okay, I see. That's the acronym. Yeah, I get it.
But you have to know and understand. For me, what the benefits and risks are. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you. I'm mm-hmm. going to tell you. But you have some moms like, listen, I don't want to mess up my stuff down there.
Yeah.
I want to get in and out. Let me get a C-section. I mean,
it's like a haircut.
Look, I don't want to experience no pain.
Yeah.
Nothing. So literally, I mean, you can have a planned C-section tomorrow at 12.
Yeah.
You're getting there 2 hours earlier. You checking in. You ain't got to feel no pain.
In
you
and
get
out.
You get in your spinal tap. You get in your C-section at 12. By 1, you back in the room with the baby. It's all done. You didn't go through 36 hours of labor.
Yeah.
You know, but again, understanding that there's risk behind that.
Yeah.
So if would that's you, what,
oh my bad,
I would support you. I've been in the operating room with a mom who had a scheduled C-section.
What would you need a doula for? Well, actually, that's
because people ask that, Mez. And
okay.
Some people even say, I've had moms like break down in tears, like, I really wanted you to support me, but now I have to get a C-section. I'm like, I'm still here because guess what? You still need to know what medication you're getting.
Oh, true.
You still need to know, you need still someone to advocate for you in this space. You still have a baby coming back to this room. Again, I've had moms who their partner wasn't there, so I had to support them in the operating room.
Yeah.
And then I support you postpartum. Your postpartum journey looks different when a C-section.
Yeah, damn, there is all type of different mothers. There's mothers who probably don't have the father around, nobody
mm-hmm.
around, but just you.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you have a vaginal birth after a C-section?
I advocate for that. I am.
Really?
I specialize in moms who have, we call them VBACs, vaginal births after C-section. Yeah. VBACs. So, yes, you can, I had a mom, mm-hmm. I believe in November. When I tell you, her birth was so beautiful, I cried.
Really?
Because she had a horrible experience prior to, she had a C-section, and she ended up this time having a natural, she could have had that baby at home. Yeah. She really could have, because she went in, she checked into the hospital. They were just kind of coming in and out. She didn't have no IV. She didn't have no pain medicine. We went through that. I supported her yeah. through that labor process. She did her thing, and she had a vaginal birth on all fours. She caught her own baby, all of that. So it can happen.
Yeah.
Now, doctors will tell you whether or not you're a candidate, because there's some moms who've had a previous C-section that aren't candidates.
Yeah.
Based off their tissue, their scar tissue.
Okay.
How they may have healed, any complications they had afterwards. Yeah. So they'll pretty much tell you most of the time. Now, if you had a C-section because the anatomy of your body
right.
isn't built in a way to carry a larger baby, which is a baby size, and being a smaller woman I've seen teeny tiny women.
Well, like a canal in a sense of,
so like their pelvis may be tilted in a way.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Damn, it could be so many things.
There's so many things. And we don't even know. Like, we just be out here having babies. I've had three babies. And the first one, I didn't know what was going on. The second one, I thought I knew what was going on, but I didn't really know what was going on. The third one, and this is all by the latter two, while yeah. being a doula.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're learning. There's so many different things. And now that I'm a student midwife, I'm learning even so much more.
Yeah.
So, you know, so many different things. But yes, so I've seen a teeny tiny mama give birth to a 9-pound baby.
Yeah.
I've seen a bigger mother who couldn't give birth for whatever reason naturally to a smaller baby.
Right.
So size doesn't necessarily have anything to do with it. But there's some women who the way their structure is,
correct. That makes sense.
They're not able to get that baby down that into their pelvis and engage to have a vaginal birth. But I definitely support women. There's women who've had vaginal births after having two C-sections.
Dang, that's crazy. I didn't know that. I thought once you had a C-section, that's all you have to do.
That was the myth. Yeah, they used to tell you that. Once you had a C-section, you always have to have a C-section.
That's what I always believed.
Which kept a lot of women from even getting pregnant again, because they didn't want to go through the experience of having a C-section. I don't want to go through that again. But that was a lie.
Damn, that's crazy. Like, and then just when I heard about pretty much that you could set an appointment and a time where you could have the C-section and be in and out, I'm like, that's like literally like a fucking hair yeah. salon. You go there, get your hair done, and come out.
Some women, I'm telling you, some women do that. Like, yes, we got vacation coming up. Let's yeah. go ahead and schedule the C-section here so it can be done. You got some doctors that'll be like, yeah, I'm going to be on vacation, so you want to go ahead and schedule your C-section? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I'd be pissed. I'd be wanting to look for another doctor if they said that to me.
Yep. Well, you know, I go on vacation the last week of December, especially around the holidays. Around the holidays,
yeah,
they love to try to get you in for a C-section or an induction.
That's crazy. Does insurance cover having a doula?
So, some states, and North Carolina is one of them, Medicaid does cover insurance. I mean, does cover a doula.
Okay.
I accept Medicaid, but I only accept United Healthcare, mm-hmm. community care plan. Insurance is right now in North Carolina do not cover doulas, but uh-huh. they will reimburse, like with your flex spending account or your health spending account.
Right.
I feel like United Way is working to try to cover. Excuse me. And then there's a lot of legislation right now.
Yeah,
trying to get insurance companies to cover.
I heard it was only like six states who were really cool with the insurance thing.
This is a difficult part. Not all doulas are cool with it, right? Huh? Because once insurance companies get involved,
yeah,
they now can regulate what I do as a doula. Does that mean now I have to go to y'all school to get certified as a doula?
It's always something.
Because remember, doulas aren't regulated.
Right.
Now we may have to be regulated in order for insurance. So you'll probably have some doulas that won't take insurance.
Right.
But again, what now? How am I going to have to bend? If are you going to tell me I can't talk about systemic racism in the medical system because now I'm bound under this contract because I now, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of doulas aren't really for it. I take clients who have Medicaid because most of them, by first conversation, they say, I wanted a doula in a previous pregnancy, but I couldn't afford it. I knew I couldn't afford it now, but I found out through Medicaid that Medicaid covers insurance. Mind you, I get paid significantly less, just like every other doctor, every other medical professional gets paid significantly less with Medicaid. But these, a lot of times, are folks that actually need doulas.
Yeah.
These are younger moms. These are people that are, you know, may have financial issues or, you know, all types of things that or disparities, I would say. And I think they fall into the category of folks that need someone there advocating for them. Because even with Medicaid, in some hospitals, and I don't know if people know this, you got Medicaid birthing rooms and you got regular insurance, private pay birthing rooms.
Yeah.
And they look different.
1,000%. 1,000%.
And your medication might be different.
Yeah. Oh, even with the vaccines, they had refrigerators that had insured ones. And then
why is it different? You know?
Yeah.
So for me, I feel like those are the moms that actually need. They really need advocacy in on their birthing journey.
That's crazy. Now, I've been hearing a lot about women keeping their placentas and like putting them in capsules and stuff like that. What's that about?
So culturally, in a lot of different countries, women do a lot of different things with their placentas. Mm-hmm. A lot of tribes in Africa, they bury them. They do ceremonies. They bury the placentas. In Asian countries, they're really big on, you know, cooking and consuming the placentas. Here, you do have some moms that cook them and eat them.
Yeah.
But we do what we call placenta encapsulation.
Right.
So, and I'm going to go back.
Okay.
Keep your placenta even if you throw it outside in the trash. Your placenta. They make $50,000 per black placenta.
What, they make lipstick or something? I heard so many things that they make
all types of things. I don't know what they're doing, but we do know we have the Eve gene. We do know we are the prototype.
Yeah.
And we do know we've heard about Henrietta Lacks and what they did with Henrietta Lacks. And they took her cervical cells. And now that's the vaccine for cervical cancer. You know, they've been doing all type of organ harvesting with black people. So we don't know exactly what they're doing with these placentas. It's yours. It's not medical waste. I tell moms, take your placenta. I don't care if you take it and bury it in your yard. If you throw it away, take your placenta because they're making money. They're telling you it's waste. Well, can I get the $50,000?
Yeah.
Can I get half? Can I get a piece of
something?
That?
Something. And if not, then you can't get it either.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't have it either.
Yeah.
But we encapsulate the placentas. So we take the placenta and it's sterilized. It's clean. It's dehydrated, and then it's ground down and it's put in capsules.
Yeah.
Basically, when a mother is, once she has a baby, she's very so much nutrient and mineral deficient, which really is the cause of postpartum mood disorders.
Really?
It's that mineral and nutrient deficiencies.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, moms go through exhaustion and baby blues, but that mineral deficiency and that nutrient deficiency is behind a lot of things, depression, anxiety, not just even in, you know, a postpartum mom.
Yeah.
But in that placenta, you are putting everything back in your body. All that goodness that your baby was getting those 9 months is still in that organ and you're putting it back in your body. So a lot of moms find that they had issues with, you know, anemia or, again, postpartum mood disorders and things of that nature, mineral deficiencies, by ingesting their placenta, they've had better outcomes in those areas. And you got to think, too, people eat cow placentas and organ meat, all this stuff, because, again, they're like superfoods.
Yeah.
So what better superfood for our body is our own organ, right?
Especially if it came out of you.
I know it sounds weird, but, again, folks eat liver and kidneys and gizzards,
chitlins
and all that stuff.
Everything,
so.
Damn, that's crazy. What, like, how often does postpartum depression happen?
I think it happens in more moms than they know, right? So one of the things when I talk with moms is, and this is when I involve dads too, is understanding, okay, well, we have baby blues. We all go through that. It's like that first few days, you just like, you're exhausted and you're crying because you're, it's a, your hormones.
Yeah.
So you know how, like, when a young lady starts her menses, she first starts her period and she goes through these emotions, you're like, oh my God.
Right.
And then when, you know, someone starts menopause, those same hormonal changes, you're going through that. You're literally going from hormones being up here to plummeting through the floor in seconds after having a baby. So you go through those moods. So it's normal. It's so normal. I think sometimes we get caught up in that little bit of space that we automatically think we're depressed, but we're not often.
And not to mention lack of sleep. It's something new. You got somebody crying nonstop.
You're so not, exhaustion.
Yeah.
So add exhaustion to that hormonal imbalance, and that's why that that encapsulated placenta is good, because now that's helping to regulate your hormones afterwards. There's a lot of things that can help with that, even sea moss. It helps with hormone regulation, those minerals and things of that nature. But knowing the difference between just, I'm just going through those changes, those baby blues, and then I'm depressed. I'm having these intrusive thoughts. I can't sleep. I'm thinking about harming myself. Moms are scared to talk about it.
Yeah.
Some moms can't afford to talk about it. Like, I got to go back to work. Like, I got to go back to work.
Because the damn maternity leave, that's nothing in America.
You get 6 weeks for a vaginal birth. You get 8 weeks for a C-section. Now, mind you, I don't know why they think 2 more weeks for a C-section is enough. Like, when they're cutting through 7 layers. Like, it's a major surgery. I think you might get out of work longer if you get a knee replacement.
Yeah.
I don't know. But again, your body hasn't even begun to heal. Right. I tell folks, I'm still postpartum. I had my last baby a year and a half ago. I'm still postpartum. Women, it takes about 7 years. And we still don't get back to normal. We still don't get back to normal.
Yeah.
So that 6 weeks, these 6 weeks is only because in a normal situation, it takes 6 weeks from the place where that placenta is in your uterus. Uh-huh. It leaves an open wound. It takes 6 weeks for that just to close up and heal. That's what that 6 weeks is. That doesn't mean
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that doesn't mean, and y'all get mad, but 6 weeks doesn't mean she's still ready to sleep with you. She may not be ready mentally, physically.
Right.
You know, that's all that 6 weeks is.
Yeah.
And mind you, a lot of moms don't even get time to rest in that 6 weeks.
Hell no.
They don't even get rest.
Nah, not at all.
And I try to tell moms and their family, like, listen, if she had a giant wound on her stomach, that was just an open wound outside her stomach, y'all would say, sit down, do not move.
Right.
Make sure you're eating, stay in the bed.
Yeah.
But she has that. It's just inside.
Yeah.
Mom needs, and we talk about 5-5-5. Moms need to be in the bed 5 days after birth, in the bed, not getting up, but to use the bathroom. 5 days on the bed, 5 days around the bed. And that's minimal. In some countries, they do 40 days.
Yeah, that is.
They do 40 right days. But we don't have that here. A lot of us, you know, our moms or mother-in-laws, they can't take off of work to come and be with you for 40 days. Or a husband can't even be off of work.
No, we don't even get paternity leave.
Some places they do. Some companies are doing better. They're allowing it. But for the most part, people are getting 6 weeks, and dads might get 2 weeks. Some dads might, okay, well, we'll let you go for the birth and the day after, but we need you back the next day.
Yeah.
You know, and don't account for, you know, men that are entrepreneurs and they work for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, my husband was losing money while I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
But he got to be there. He got to be there when I get home.
Right.
But there ain't no PTO. There ain't no none of that. So our country is not set up in a way that supports families whatsoever. At
all around.
All around. You got countries that allow a year. Like, I think a year makes sense.
Hell yeah.
A year. And then with and it's a whole nother conversation, but the rise in child care. So it's like, I got to put my child in daycare to go to work after 6 weeks. My body ain't even healed. It's a mess. It's a whole mess.
Yeah. Because I notice a lot of people, a lot of friends and family, like I know a lot of people who after the birth of their first child or something like that, they split, or a lot of bullshit happens in that time because it's such a new stage in life, mm-hmm. and it's nothing mm-hmm. but like, it's like just nonstop pressure on yep. both of y'all.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you're not sleeping. It's a financial, it's a change financially.
Yeah.
Sometimes it changes the dynamic in the families. You know, folks act crazy when you get married, you have babies.
Yeah.
You know, family start having, the dynamic may change.
Yeah.
You know, you're not intimate. You don't have that intimacy
right.
that you had prior to, especially, like you said, when the first baby.
Yeah.
So you need that. You need time.
Yeah.
I think families really, really need time. And that, you are absolutely correct. A lot of times after first baby, because of the pressures of life,
yeah.
not having a proper support financially, spiritually, you know, mentally, couples don't make it.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because, yeah. again, I think a lot of it is preventable.
Yeah. Even just personally, like with me and my wife, like my son would not sleep in his bed, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he would get in, he would literally would cry like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I sit him on my chest, he'd go right to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I know everybody's like, don't let him sleep in your bed. Don't. I'm like, I don't care what you say. I need some sleep.
I need some sleep.
So if he's going to shut up by me putting him on my chest, he's going to sleep. And then, it went, he almost like a year and a half or a little bit more sleeping in the bed.
So, listen, going back to the not sleeping in the bed, that's just here in the United States. Everywhere else, every other country, kids sleep in the bed. They be in the bed till they 12.
My mom literally was like, she's like, why do you want to separate your child from you? And I was like, I mean, that's what they tell us. She's like, that's just an American thing because we're African. So she's like,
yep.
A baby's supposed to be with the mother. Like, she was like, look at any animal. Do you ever see any lions, anything like just separate? No.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you got to think, being next to mom, it actually helps mom. It helps regulate the baby's heart rate. It helps yeah. mom with postpartum. It helps regulate the baby's temperature. Helps the baby sleep.
Yeah.
Help everybody sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I all my babies, they slept with me.
Yeah.
Nico has his own room, but he still, somebody got to be in there with him.
Yeah.
But again, why do we want to separate you and put you in a whole nother room?
It doesn't make sense.
You know, so it does make it harder, right?
Yeah.
Because now it's like, okay, well, we got 30 minutes. I know that. I know you're going to wake up in 30 minutes.
Right.
We got 30 minutes. Then you're like, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
I want to sleep.
Yeah.
So again, that's what postpartum doulas. You got night doulas too. You got some doulas that'll come in and they take that night shift
yeah.
so that the parents can sleep
right.
and have time. But again, you can't even begin to try to figure out any of that when folks got to go back to work in 6 weeks.
That's so crazy, yo.
But if everybody was home, let's say we get adjusted. So after about 10 weeks, we started to get into a rhythm. Okay, well, maybe baby does sleep better during the daytime. We're home. We don't have to worry about work.
Right.
Maybe we can get some alone time or intimate time or be able to just to talk during the day. We don't have that.
Right.
We don't have that. So it's a mess. It's a whole
that
mess.
Term, it takes a village to raise a child. That shit is real. Like, it's really, really
real. But it's
real.
Supposed to be that way.
Facts.
You think about in other indigenous countries where the village is raising the children.
Yeah.
Only here in the United States.
Yeah.
You got the mom, the dad, and the child.
Yeah, and a lot of times one is working and the other one, both of them are working, maybe separate shifts. Like,
you had grandmas, you had aunties, you had cousins. Everybody lived close and in a close communal area because everybody was raising. And even in our communities back in the day, we kind of lived amongst one another. But now it is where, I mean, I do personally have had clients who were single parents.
Mm-hmm.
Had a baby.
Yeah.
Had to go back to work in 6 weeks. Baby had to go to daycare. That baby had, it's still bonding. That baby still can't even see clearly.
Right.
And it's traumatic.
It is.
When you separate a mother from her baby, they said that it feels like, the baby feels like what's going on in their mind is, my mother died.
Mm.
That's why when you send babies to daycare and you wonder, and I didn't know this until recently. My son would cry, my oldest, Namir, he would cry. And then when I pick him up, he was crying. And I'm like, why is he crying? I'm picking him up.
Yeah.
Because he's like, my mother is here. Please don't leave me again. I thought you were dead. The same way somebody popped up in a room you thought was dead.
Yeah.
You're like, you would break out in that. For sure. That's what that is. Yeah. So we're taking that mother, that baby away. Then there's complications. Moms get mastitis because they were breastfeeding. And now
what's the baby's mastitis?
Mastitis is when you have inflammation of like your milk glands. Oh, so, wow. You know.
So does that stop it from having, like, producing milk? Does that?
So sometimes they get infections. Sometimes moms get infections and have to get on antibiotics because it turns into an infection.
Damn.
Some places don't allow moms the space and the time to pump.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So all these types of different scenarios and dynamics goes on around this whole birthing thing. And our country is just not set up to support. And that's moms of all races, of all colors, of all is not support. And not to even exclude dads, because, you know, your wife had a baby, your woman had a baby, and then you got to go back to work the next day or the next day.
Yeah.
So what? But again, you have that responsibility to provide. But then you're like, you get that guilt. Dads get that guilt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have some type of insecurity. Well, I'm not even there. I'm not needed. Or, you know, it's all types of different type of things that go on.
Right. But you got to make yourself useful as a man, too. Like, my son wasn't latching, right? So she was pumping. So every 2 hours when he would wake up, she would take the 2 hours. Then I would take the next 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I would make sure all the bottles are washed. Like, there's other things you could do, too, as a man to help relieve her of that stuff.
Well preach it until let them know. Let them know.
I have a whole, like... When you see single mothers before, like before you have a child, you're like, yeah, I mean, they could get it done. But when you have a child and you realize, dog, you're doing this by yourself, that's a whole different ballgame.
Like, you ain't getting that 2 hour break. Dog, ain't nobody washing your bottles for you.
I don't even want to be cool with dudes who don't take care of their kids. Like, listen, once I find out about you, stay away from me.
And see, that's the type of accountability that all men need to have.
Yeah.
And need to make sure that they're holding men in the community accountable for.
Yeah.
Because again, like I said, then we want to know why women are dealing with black women are dealing with anxiety and depression at a high rate that's undiagnosed.
Yeah.
So then we're just, and I know this is not even the topic, but you know, we're labeled as angry black women, but really we just have anxiety.
Yeah.
Because we out here raising children by ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't have a support system that we need. Why so many of our children are lost because they don't have that support system that they need. I saw a reel and someone was saying how it's not having a father in the home that determines the outcome of a child's upbringing. It's how happy the mother is.
That makes sense.
And then I saw another one that says a mother doesn't remember who was there for her during pregnancy, but remembers who was there for her afterwards. Because for me, the pregnancy is fun. Everybody love you. Yeah. Everybody want to touch your belly. Everybody's there, the baby. And then when the baby comes, then there's no support. And I get it. People got lives. They don't want to. But it does take a village. Like you said, it does take a village. And sometimes us mothers need an hour.
Yeah, for sure.
We just need 2 hours. I don't want you to come over and hold my baby. I want you to come over here and wash these dishes.
Yeah.
I don't want you to come over here and I don't know, take pictures. I want you to bring your son over here, cut the grass so my husband can take a nap.
Yeah.
You know, those types of things. I need you to come over here, just hold my hand. Folks just want to show up to hold a baby. That's it.
Yeah.
But don't take a baby away from a mother.
Yeah,
that baby belongs with that mother.
That's true. You're right
so
about that.
So everybody on here, if you're listening, do not go anywhere and take a baby away from that mother. If she don't give you that baby, do not ask for that baby.
Yeah.
That's her baby.
Facts.
She's bonding. She's producing oxytocin for her milk supply. Her and that baby is bonding. She's regulating that baby's body temperature. You are a stranger.
Yeah.
So.
True. That's very true. And the crazy thing is, like, kids naturally latch to their mom. Like, the way my son don't give a damn. If me and her are sitting on two other couches, if he walk in, he's going straight to her and cuddling in a tightest crevice. You'd be like, bro, you move. Like, why are you that close to her? And he'd just be looking at me laughing, and he'd just get comfortable. But she'd just be like, man, I can't even do anything.
Listen, mine stay connected to me. I think if he could go back in my stomach, he would.
Yeah. He'll get in our bed, like, in the middle of the night. Sometimes he'll still just wake up beside him. And he'll be, like, literally tucked under her. I'm like, and I have to pull him. Like, it's a big ass bed. Like, move. Like, why are you that close to her?
Listen, we have a king size bed. Before right. he went into his bed, I was on one slither, and he was, and you know, my husband's on one slither. I'm on the other side, and then the baby right up.
Under, exactly. Under, like, literally, like, to the point where if you turn over, you might squish him. Like, that's how I'll be, literally, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I just pull him.
But he was getting his best sleep yeah. because that's where he, that's his comfort zone. Yeah. His comfort yeah, zone.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to, get on as far as, like, what we might be missing with?
Well, I just say, you know, it's important, you know, we talk about the Black maternal health crisis mm-hmm. and we talk about how Black mothers are 3 and 4 times more likely to die than white and Hispanic women. And I don't think people realize how important it is for us to be educated.
Yeah.
And one of the things I always tell my clients, I said, listen, there's no other species that goes to a medical professional to have a baby unless it's like a complication. Like, yeah. so you might have a small dog that's having puppies and they're too small to get, so they have to have a C-section.
Yeah.
There's no other species that gives, that has fear about giving birth.
None.
We go to hospital because we're fearful of childbirth. Everybody, every other animal has birth wherever they are, wherever they stand, and they're not fearful of it. It's a physiological experience. It's yeah. not a medical event until it becomes a medical event. So why are we including yeah. doctors in something that's physiological? Like, we've been in other countries, they don't go to hospitals.
We're so much weaker as a people mm-hmm. with technology. Mm-hmm. It says something like that in the Bible mm-hmm. too. The mm-hmm. smarter we get, the weaker we get
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I will say, especially if you are a Black mother, to make sure that you are educated, whether you have a doula, you go to a childbirth education course, you do your research. The birthing center, and we only have one birthing center in North Carolina right now. In this area, and that's in Statesville, New Beginnings. And they do take Medicaid. You know, some moms feel like I have to have a hospital birth to have Medicaid. They do. I don't think they take all, yeah. but they do. There are doulas who take Medicaid. I take Medicaid. Reach out to doulas. Check with your insurance. They may do reimbursement. A lot of doulas do take flex spending account and health spending accounts. But be accountable so that you can be an advocate for yourself. Please don't think that you're just that special. You had yeah. Serena Williams, who is one of the most decorated female athletes of our time and time before.
Facts.
And they didn't listen to her in a hospital environment. She almost died.
Mm.
You have the Olympic gold medalist. Oh, my gosh. I forgot her name.
What was she? Track?
She was track. She almost died. Again, these are women who have money. Who have
not Jackie Joyner Kersee?
She's recent. I want to say his last name is Felix something.
Okay,
but yeah. again, we're talking about these are Black women who mm-hmm. are highly decorated and well off, and even they're not being listened to yeah. in the birthing space. But again, make sure you're educated. Don't go into anything else blindly. You would not do not go into your birth. And dads, tap in.
Yeah.
Tap in. Like, your support is needed.
Yeah.
Your advocacy is needed. These are your children. These are your wives, your sisters, your mothers. Tap in. Right. Because they need that support during pregnancy, during labor delivery, and postpartum. Midwifery, in North Carolina. Certified nurse midwives are legal, but community midwives are not legal yet. And I say yet because I definitely believe that there's going to be some legislation soon here that legalizes certified professional midwives. But there are a lot of great midwives in the Charlotte area,
mm-hmm.
In the Raleigh-Durham area. Look into it. A lot of insurance companies will reimburse or may pay for a midwife. So look into it.
Yeah.
Our hospitals are not our friend. You guys read Medical Apartheid. If you get a chance, read Medical Apartheid, and it will change the way you think about hospitals.
Yeah.
And you will stay the heck away from hospitals unless it's medically necessary.
Right.
Even having a baby.
That's another episode of Measuring to Chill. Thank you so much for all this information.
You are welcome.
I'm sure our audience will love that. And majority of my audience is females or women. I don't know. We're in strange times where you can't call them females.
Listen, but females, women, that's yeah. like me. Listen, you know, it's a weird space. It's a weird time. Mm-hmm. We don't know what to say. We are female.
Yeah.
We are woman. We are womb carriers.
Yeah.
All those things. But again, there's a lot of great midwives and a lot of great black doulas. The National Black Doulas Association.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a doula, I'm on the website.
How can they contact you?
You can contact me on Instagram. I am the Birthing Bee. You can also Facebook the Birthing Bee, www.thebirthingbee.com. I'm here for any questions. Like I said, I'm currently practicing as a doula, but I am a student midwife.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll have a conversation in a couple years once I become a midwife.
Whenever you do that, we'll do that for sure. For sure.
But yes, you can reach me any of those, Instagram, Facebook, by my website. And again, if I can't support you, I know some bomb doulas in the area and some midwives in the area who I can connect you with.
Thank you, Marcia.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
For sure.